When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's a great football team with a lot of moral fiber and a lot of character, and they showed it.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast, hosted by Matt Parrino and Ryan Talbot.
No place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
Presented by Syracuse.com and NYUp.com.
The Bills make me wanna. Yeah!
What is up, everybody? Welcome into the Tuesday afternoon morning. I guess before noon is technically the morning. So the Tuesday morning edition of Shout a Bills, Buffalo Bills football podcast. I am joined today by my guy, Antoine Staley. We've been trying to chop this thing up for a couple of weeks, months now, dating back to the combine. You know how it is, Antoine, man. Things just get crazy around draft time as we're moving up to it. And I'm like, I got to get you on before this draft, and we're making it happen. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Last time I saw you were at Epcot, so yeah, it was.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we were walking. We were doing the drinking around the world. We ran into each other around, I think, Japan.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. That's such a fun time too, man. Just going to visit the different cities and areas and all that, and then like you said, drinking. So it's always makes for a fun time out there.
Well, this is a fun time in our jobs because we get a chance to. After months, see what this thing kind of looks like in the next couple of days as all of these teams add to their rosters. And, you know, obviously you're covering the Jets, ultra familiar with what goes down in Miami, covering them years ago, obviously adjacent to Buffalo and everything that's happening with the Bills. So I felt like we could kind of have a really cool AFC East conversation today that, you know, in a lot of ways with the exit of Stephon Diggs from the division and the additions that, you know, Miami's made and the Jets have made, things could look a little bit different next year. And so I almost feel like, what are these teams hoping, like the big three, the other teams don't add in the draft? And so I think the best place to start is with your 7-round mock draft that dropped this morning. Let us know what you had the Jets doing, and let's dive into that a little bit and what Bills fans might be thinking about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at the Jets, I still think, you know, the Jets and Bills, I definitely think both of them could use receiver. I mean, you know, I know the Jets have Garrett Wilson and they signed Mike Williams to a 1-year deal, but, you know, you look outside of that, it's still not a lot of depth there. Alan Lazard really struggled a year ago. There they have Gibson and also Brownlee, who very young guys, but still not really polished there. You need like a long-term number two, at least solution, or a guy that who I ended up taking, who I think could be a number one type of receiver in Roma Doomsday. I mean, he just does it all out there on the field. I mean, contested balls. I mean, go speed, has that, ran track in high school. I mean, has the size, athleticism, everything you want in a wide receiver. And I definitely think, you know, if it was any other draft, I think he would be the top wide receiver on the board. But it just happens to be that you got a guy, Marvin Harrison Jr., who, you know, is a bit of a unicorn, who I think me personally, I have him as my number one player in the draft. Like this year. And then you have Harrison. I think Malik, he's right there along with Malik Labors, who I also think is a really exceptional wide receiver. This whole wide receiver class is just really, really strong. So, yeah, I have the Jets trading up from 10 to 8, just moving up a couple of spots to get Roma Doomsday, because I feel like that's a really, really strong need for them right now. And it seems like they're looking for a pass catcher to really surround Aaron Rodgers with as many weapons as possible, especially with him coming back from Achilles tear that he suffered last year, which – you were there. We were both in the building for that too. Yeah.
That was wild, man. This is interesting. Let's dive into this a little bit, because from the outside looking in, I would think like pass catcher is like lower on the list of needs, even with the additions they made on the offensive line. I mean, obviously you have Vera Tucker coming back from injury, Joe Tippin in year two, they go out and they add Tyron Smith, John Simpson, and Morgan Moses, all arguably upgrades. But where are you at in terms of like in a very strong tackle class, punting on a tackle early in this draft when probably when they come back around to pick the top, like that top tier is all going to be kind of picked through a little bit, because you're basically banking on this 1 year and those two guys being able to hold up, you know, Tyron Smith especially has had an inability to do that over the last couple of years. Do you think that there's more value in the tackle, or is this just about like, okay, we got to basically bank on the fact that these guys are going to make it through. We don't have enough time to train a rookie tackle and get them to where they want to, we want them to be. The weapon is a little bit more easily 2024 impact potential. And with Aaron Rodgers, you have a very short window.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point, and that's kind of my whole point. Like, if it was up to me, I would take the tackle at 10 because I think you need added security there, especially considering what's happened with the Jets the last 2 years. Last year, they had 14 different offensive line combinations in 17 games. Wow. That is brutal. The year before that, they had 11 different players starting the line. Both of those years led the league in either players or combinations. So we've seen the worst-case scenario with the Jets. I think you need to be proactive and making sure when injuries come about, you have a plan in place, because we've seen, especially the last couple of years, they had suffered so many injuries that you really didn't have a lot of plan in place. And all of a sudden now you're banking on, like you said, Tyron Smith, who has not played a full season in 10 years, nearly, since 2015. Morgan Moses coming off of torn pec injury. Now, he did play through it, but still, both of those guys are 33 years old, and they're entering the last year of their deal. So you really don't have a plan in place for a long-term solution at either tackle position. And, oh, yeah, you talk about Elijah Red Tucker. He's missed, you know, a substantial amount of time the last couple of years, tore his Achilles last year against Denver. He tore his biceps, crazy enough, at Denver, at the same venue, in the same building. So you've seen the worst-case scenario. So you need to be very proactive in getting an offensive lineman. But I think what, kind of the point you alluded to, they don't have a lot of time to wait. Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh are on the hot seat, so they're trying to make sure they can save their rear end at this point and then continue to, you know, then they'll worry about 2025 and their 26 later on. But they have to get past this, because if you draft somebody that's a tackle that, you know, may or may not play, which I think they will, but, you know, they may not be able to see that player fully develop, and, you know, you may be out of a job depending on what happens with the Jets in 2024.
No, I think that's a really good point. And to me, Adunze, your point, I was just on a podcast and we spent like the majority of it talking about a potential trade up for the Bills to like 9, like with the Bears, who are probably looking to get capital in this draft. They only have 4 draft picks. They're going to get Caleb Williams. They already have DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. And there's an argument to be made that you just, to your point, you just add weapons, right? Like, or you go get a tackle, whatever the case may be for them. But also, like, adding more picks might be in the cards. And you know, you bring this up as a beat reporter, and I'm sitting there like, yeah, if the Bills really want to go get this guy, you're going to have to get in front of the Jets at 10, probably, to get him. A lot of people have Brock Bowers in their mock draft for the Jets. Why did you, would it be a situation where instead of trading up and trading up to go get a Adunze is because you really want that player? Yes. But do you think there's a world we can live in where the Jets would live in where they sit at 10 and they're okay with either of those two guys falling to them?
Yeah, I think you could also make a case for offensive lineman following them too. I think they're in a good spot where they filled a lot of needs in free agency. They don't have to do anything necessarily. They could try to pick the best available player, whether it be Brock Bowers. I don't see a Adunze getting 10. That's the problem. Like, so I think somebody, whether it's a team behind them or something like that, they're going to jump in front of them. Like I feel like the Falcons is the prime spot for a trade. Just like I think the Chargers is the same thing too. I feel like they could trade out a 5 and then have somebody else come in and, you know, get them Malik Neighbors, or, you know, if you like a Adunze or whatever the case may be. But yeah, you could sit there and take Bowers at 10. You could take, you know, Troy Fontenot from Washington. You could take Fuaga from Oregon State. It's a lot of different players who you could potentially take. Or if you're the Jets, you could also entertain trading down, because they don't have a second round pick at all because of the Aaron Rodgers deal. So you can, if you can somehow recoup that, maybe move down, you know, 5 spots or so and still get an quality offensive line. I think this is not only a talented tackle draft, but probably even more so the talented wide receiver draft. So even if you fall in love with a guy like a Brian Thomas Jr., who I had actually mocked to the Bills In the whole first round mock that we had come out yesterday.
Oh, Bills fans would be ecstatic at that.
I think he's so underrated because I just think Malik Nabers got so much of the attention and everything like that. But I think Thomas is a budding star waiting to happen. But if you want to go that route, you could also do that too as well if you're the Jets. But yeah, I definitely think a guy like Brian Thomas Jr., I think he fits in well with Buffalo and what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Let's move to the Miami Dolphins. What did you have them doing at 21?
I think they need to trust the offensive line. Now, I mean, they could go a lot of different directions. They lost a lot of people defensively. Obviously, the biggest one is Christian Wilkins there, him going to the Raiders. But, you know, I definitely think, you know, getting a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson there from Oregon, who has the versatility to not only play center, but he also play guard too as well. I definitely think that would benefit them immensely, especially when you're trying to protect the quarterback like Tua, who's, you know, last year he was able to stay healthy, but, you know, has had injury concerns throughout his whole career. And you definitely want to be able to protect him, especially now that since it seems like they're going to pay him an abundance amount of money. You have to be able to do what it takes to protect somebody like that, especially if you're going to compete with the Bills and who I think is still the top dog in the AFCs, no matter what people say. Yeah, you got to be able to make sure you protect him and keep him clean for a whole 17-game season.
Yeah, paying Tua a lot of money, woof, man. Like, that is such a hard spot to be in. You're right, though. Like, they've almost backed themselves into a spot where they don't really have any choice. Now, the one thing I will say, I think Mike McDaniel has a really good idea of what needs to be put around him to make him successful. So I think if you're buying into this thing, like, I think you got to find speed on day two and day three, and you have to address the offensive line early. I mean, from a team building perspective for them, that would be the route that I go. The reason why I feel like the Dolphins, with all things considered, knowing how evenly they were last season, the Bills and the Dolphins, I might like consider the Dolphins for like the top team in the AFC East a little bit more if I didn't have so many questions about their defensive line.
Right.
And that's another area that I think they could probably think about going, you know, not even defensive tackle, but I think you got to be concerned about edge rusher. I mean, Chubb might not ever be the same again coming off of that injury. Jalen Phillips coming back. I think he'll probably get back closer and quicker than Chubb, but I like Shaq Barrett, but you know, he's getting older as well. And not having Christian Wilkins. I mean, there are some holes they have to fill. And that was for their defense. What I think allowed them to be so successful was those guys up front, and not having them is going to be an issue.
And not only that, I mean, you lose Van Ginkle there. He ended up leaving, and, you know, Zaven Howard gets released there. Jerome Baker also gets released. So they have a lot of questions defensively too. And a team that already had defensive questions anyway last year. And now you let go an abundance amount of people, including, you know, one of your best players on your team and Wilkins, who ended up going to the Raiders. But yeah, I definitely think they have a ton of answers. But yeah, I think pass rusher is a good point too, because yeah, you don't know what those guys are going to look like. You don't know if they're going to be ready for training camp or week one. I imagine so, but you're not 100% sure of that. And it's never a bad thing to have too many pass rushers. It's one thing, like, I've learned covering the NFL, having too many – you can't never have too many good pass rushers. You can never have too many good cornerbacks either in this league. So to be able to have an abundance of them, I definitely think it would be a good benefit for them.
What do you think about Xavier Worthy? Because to me, he's one of the toughest evaluations from what I've kind of sifted through over the course of the last couple of months. Like, you have a guy that just absolutely blows up the combine. Historically, guys that do that at that kind of speed, and maybe some questions about him not playing that fast on tape, I feel like it's really hard to pinpoint, all right, what's the spot that you're going to take him? Like, you see 4-2-2 and you think, man, from a Bills perspective, that sounds scary if you add that to a collection of talent in Miami, like Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. What do you think about the player? Where do you think his best fit is? And do you think any of the AFC East teams look to try to grab him?
I think so too. I've seen a lot of guys that are track fast, but they try to play football and it just doesn't translate. I kind of think of James Jett, just growing up watching the Raiders the years that I did. But yeah, I think Worthy is a different type of player. He's a football player that's just fast. And I definitely think, I mean, skinny. Yeah, he's definitely skinny, like really rail too. But I think it's a lot to like about him. His versatility, like, he can explode off the line. He has an extra gear that he can get into, and he's also a good pass catcher too. I mean, also be a good complement. I don't know if he'll be a number one wide receiver, but I definitely think he could be a good number two somewhere. And I think, you know, you're looking at the Dolphins potentially, if you add in, you know, I don't know how long Tyreek Hill is going to be there. Maybe in, I assume another year at least. Jaylen Waddle, they have to pay him soon too as well, which is another conundrum the Dolphins have to face too. But getting a guy like a third wide receiver, which I think they need, you know, who can be in the slot. Just imagine that nightmare. You're trying to cover Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, and Xavier Worthy. Good luck trying to stop that, because, you know, it's like a basketball team on grass. That's basically what it would be. So, yeah, I definitely think, you know, I know for a fact they like Xavier Worthy. I don't know if they would take him at that spot, but I know Mike McDaniel definitely really does like him.
And there are some guys that some mock drafts that I've seen where he's kind of getting taken in the 40s. Like in the second round. I mean, some people are lower on him, you know, that he might not even be a first round pick. You know, obviously, Adonai Mitchell to me is one of the most intriguing first round players, because if you talk about variance on a guy, there's guys with more variance. Like I think Ladd McConkey, Xavier Leggett, they have a little bit more like a wider net. But Mitchell, I mean, there's some people that think he could go as high as like 14, 15. And then some that think that he might even fall out of the first round, depending on some of these question marks. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean, very raw as a, you know, prospect too. I mean, I think he had like 93 catches or something like that too. But, you know, considering, you know, he also has top speed too as well. Not like Worthy, but I definitely think I'm a little bit higher on him than I am Worthy, simply because mm-hmm. I just like his playmaking ability. I like the fact that, you know, him as a route runner there, he has the ability. He has strong hands and also can catch contested balls, something that you have to do consistently in the NFL, especially when these quarterbacks are throwing in tight windows. And, yeah, I definitely think Mitchell, his game really translates to the NFL level. I mean, yeah, I mean, you're a little bit worried about, you know, the inexperience and things like that. But, you know, for what I've seen on tape, then I definitely think he's going to be a, you know, tremendous asset to somebody. And I would have him in the lower first round, like maybe a team like Kansas City, you know, potentially mm-hmm. taking him. That's why I had him pegged, actually. The Chiefs ended up taking him 32 overall. And, you know, you get Patrick Mahomes, that type of weapon, and have Andy Reid just kind of mold somebody like that that doesn't have a lot of experience. I mean, that could prove to be dangerous for a lot of other teams in the AFC.
What's your comp for Mitchell? And I know not everybody does comps, but if you have to like pick somebody for Mitchell and Thomas to give fans like an idea of who you think that they could potentially be like at the next level, and somebody like, you know, maybe has a similar arc, who would you have?
Mitchell, I probably have him more like George Pickens. I definitely okay. think those guys, like, you know, solid number one, solid number two guys, but not necessarily, you know, somebody that build your whole team around, not like a top number one wide receiver. Brian Thomas Jr. is definitely interesting too. I definitely think he is a guy that's very similar to me, like Jamar Chase a little bit, mm-hmm. like somebody that can, you know, do it all out there on the field, go out there and get, you know, contested balls there, while also being a tremendous route runner too as well. So I just think that if any other draft, again, he might be a top 10 pick, but the fact that, you know, so much talent on the board at wide receiver, that kind of pushes him down a little bit. But I definitely think, you know, when it's all said and done, we could be looking back and saying he could be one of the best players in this entire draft, not just the wide receiver, but overall.
Wow, that's kind of big time there. and maybe you think about, like, you know, we've been talking about a Rome Odunze trade up. You know, like I mentioned that I was talking about with Joe B and on his podcast earlier. Maybe a trade up for Brian Thomas could be in the mix. And I think that it was Dane Brugler in his 7-round mock. He had the Bills trading up to 17 in Jacksonville, going up 11 picks to get Thomas Jr. I mean, that's the kind of, you know, that's what you're trading up that far for, that yeah. kind of promise.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime you replace, you get, let go or trade a wide receiver like Stephon Diggs, you need to find a way to replace them. I guess there's a number of ways you can do that, by committee or having just one guy pick up a lot of the slack. I think Buffalo, they'll have a committee of guys that'll do that. But, and I think you kind of saw that the way Josh was kind of distributing the ball late last season. He wasn't necessarily relying, him and, you know, Joe Brady wasn't necessarily relying a lot on Stephon Diggs, as you know. So I think having a guy like that who can mold and, you know, potentially be the offensive rookie of the year, and like Brian Thomas Jr., I definitely think that would be a huge benefit, especially with the pickups that they made, including picking up a guy like Curtis Samuel too, who I definitely think, you know, I think it'd be an underrated signing for Buffalo too as well.
Mm-hmm. What's definitely underrated this time of year is becoming a Shout Buffalo Bills insider. You can become an insider right now by texting 716-528-6727 or go to joinsubtext.com/ShoutBuffaloBills. Get yourself a 2-week free trial, $3.99 a month after that. And the Shout text line is brought to you by Kerry C. Byer, attorney with the law offices of Francis M. Litro, located at 237 Main Street, Buffalo, New York. If you or someone you know is seriously injured, give him a call, 716-852-1234. All right, Antoine, let's go to the Bills from the perspective of what are teams hoping the Bills don't leave this draft with?
I think it's multiple weapons on the far as wide receiver too. If I was Buffalo, I would probably look at taking maybe two wide receivers, you know, potentially, you know, if you can find somebody in the third round as well, like a Ricky Parasol Jr. or, you know, Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky there. I definitely think those guys could potentially help you as well. And also defensive help too. Like you look at Buffalo there, you know, obviously, you know, they could use some safety help too as well. You know, some help on the linebacker side as well. But yeah, I definitely think improving that defense. They hope the Bills do not improve the defense, but also, you know, also don't help, you know, Josh Allen in any kind of way. Not that he needs any more help, because I think he's arguably at least the top, if at worst, I think he's the top three wide receiver in this, top three quarterback in this league right now.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I look at the defense and there's guys that are gone, right? I mean, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, deciding if he's going to retire. It looks like he might not be back. Tre'Davious White has moved on. Then you look at the defensive line and Leonard Floyd came in and had such a huge impact in his one season. He's now in San Francisco. To me, that's like the one guy on the defense that I think is a huge loss. I think in the secondary, Sean McDermott is as good as anybody in the league at developing guys, finding talent. I mean, Christian Benford, Dane Jackson, Levi Wallace. I mean, heck, Poyer and Hyde were like, you know, forgotten free agent additions back in 2017. And they go on to become one of the greatest safety duos to ever play the game together for as long as they have. So I'm curious what you think of, like, do you think the Bills should maybe even just like not worry too much about the defensive side of the ball, because I think that they'll find guys in all the levels and really prioritize offense so much so that maybe they go offense with their first two picks like they did a year ago with Osiris Torrance and Dalton Kincaid?
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I think, you know, obviously you need to be able to stop people, and specifically the Chiefs, because that's the team everybody's chasing. But yeah, I think you need to improve the offense, really, you know, be able to score some points too, because we've seen it throughout times last year where the Bills kind of offense kind of got stagnant a little bit there. I did like the addition, like them, you know, going to, from Ken Dorsey to Joe Brady. That actually happened during the game they played to get the Jets that week, which I don't know why the Jets didn't know this, but for some reason I knew it. I was like, what? They're going to run the ball more. And then that's exactly what they did. They used Josh Allen with his legs, and then they used a lot of James Cook and, you know, play action, and, you know, got the passing game going. And I think that was really a catalyst of getting that offense going. But, you know, I think teams are going to start to, you know, figure out this is what the Bills want to do. And you have to have some kind of consistent passing game, at least be able to move the sticks that way in order to have some, continue to have success just playing the chess game a little bit there, because, you know, the Bills were definitely a different team in the second half of the season as opposed to the first half. But I think teams are going to catch on to probably knowing that they're going to run the ball a little bit more and try to figure out ways to stop that.
The Jets Bills rivalry is intensifying.
Deion Dawkins, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the people going. I mean, it's a very interesting dynamic, and it's kind of weird because, like, rivalries, I feel like, are born for between teams that are like competing for, you know, in most sports, like championships, right? Like, you know, the Bills have won the division 4 years in a row. The Jets have been, I mean, when's the last time they had a winning record in a season?
2015.
So it's been a hot minute. So it's a, but it's a team that's super feisty and it feels like it's ready to break through if everything goes right. How do you feel like fans of the Jets kind of view this rivalry? Because I almost feel like Bills fans hated the Patriots for so many years, and obviously different. They were winning Super Bowls. That's a completely different animal. But it never truly felt like a true rivalry, only because the Bills weren't really a factor in the NFL at that point, which has kind of been what's been going on with the Jets.
Yeah, basically. I think a few things, like, Leonard, like we talked about Floyd and him, you know, his tackle on Aaron Rodgers or whatever. Like, I think that really, you know, made a lot of people upset, especially a lot of Jets fans. So, and probably meant the Jets angry themselves because they felt like last year was their year to finally, you know, get over that hump and make the playoffs. And, you know, possibly a lot of people think they could contend for a Super Bowl. I'm not there yet because I still think the Chiefs are still the team to beat. However, you know, I mean, you got Buffalo, a team that's been, you know, dominating division the last few years, and then the Jets attained to beat to get to that level. And they feel like they're close, at least defensively, they are close. I think, you know, they have one of the best defenses in the league there. Obviously, last year, I definitely think them, you know, the Browns, Ravens, Chiefs were all kind of muddled together with one of the best defenses there. They just feel like they have a guy in Aaron Rodgers that needs to kind of take them over the top, and that wasn't able to happen. And then, you know, the frustration just kind of boiled over, especially that second Bills game where they were just completely getting slaughtered. And then, of course, Zach Wilson gets benched. Tim Boyle comes in, doesn't do much of anything. And then, of course, the trash talking starts and stuff like that too. But, yeah, it's an interesting dynamic because those teams do not like each other whatsoever, especially Buffalo. They feel like the Jets are – it seems like, at least from my perspective, that the Jets are – bit of trash talkers, but you know, haven't done anything to really back that up. And you know, we asked Joe Douglas about that at the combine, and he kind of echoed those same things. He's like, you got to earn respect. Like, it's not given to you. Like, you earn respect by going out there and getting W's and winning each week, and that's something the Jets have not done consistently. And until they do that, then they're not going to earn the respect for the Bills or anybody else too. But you know, it should be an interesting year. I think the Jets have a really good shot to at least get second in that division. I still think Buffalo is still the top team. The gap might be closed a little bit, but Buffalo's still the top team for me. But I think the better question is, has the Jets closed the gap on the Dolphins? Which I think, as of right now, if I had to pick, I would pick the Jets to probably finish second in the division.
No, I think that's fair. I think there's a lot of question marks about Miami and what happens when Tua does get paid and what happens right. If he gets hurt and what happens if Tyreek Hill finally loses even a fifth of speed. You know, you're talking about a situation where, man, the wheels fall off for high-end speedy wide receivers in a big way, you know, on the other side of 30. So, I mean, I've been kind of predicting it for a couple of years now. It hasn't necessarily happened quite yet. And man, does Tyreek Hill like talking, man? Like, I was really surprised on that podcast that he put out all that stuff about Mike McDaniel, because you know the first availability here in the next week or two, McDaniel is going to face the firing squad on that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely. Like, whenever they meet again, yeah, for sure. But I think, you know, McDaniel seems like he embraces the kind of characters they have on that team, especially a guy like Tyreek Hill. So I definitely think any other coach, especially if you're old school, like a Bill Belichick, you wouldn't want to deal with something like that. But
right.
Mike McDaniel's more new school, younger guy. He's just like, you know, whatever. You know, this is kind of the players and how they do it now. And again, he's younger. He's in his 30s. So yeah, it's not really a big deal. So at least to him, it doesn't seem like it.
What's your most off the wall, bold prediction or bold idea that you think is going to take place in the first round that maybe people aren't talking a ton about that you think, like, man, this could happen. This could totally shake up the draft.
I think a few things. I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what a team like the Raiders decide to do because, I mean, you got a guy like Gardner Minshew who, you know, has had a nice career, done some things there. They did sign him, but, you know, he's a placeholder. So you definitely want somebody that's a long-term solution there. That's why I think they could either, you know, try to trade up and, you know, you hear a lot of smoke with Jaden Daniels or the Commanders are sold on him. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get with the farm just to go get him. If they're not able to do that, then maybe a fallback would be a guy like Michael Penix Jr., who I really like as well. I just think a lot of people are scared off because of the season and the injuries that he endured during college. So I definitely think that you could see something like that. Or team like Seattle, you know, you look at, you know, Geno Smith, he's getting older. I think they could use a quarterback too as well. Some people have mentioned, you know, them possibly getting the J.J. McCarthy sweepstakes because – you know, his former offensive coordinator is there in Seattle now. So it wouldn't surprise me if they were to try to move up from, you know, the teens all the way up to number five with the Chargers and possibly make that move. It would cost them a lot. But, you know, you have your quarterback for the future, and then you can have Geno groom him for a year, and McCarthy can sit and then potentially play in 2025. But, yeah, I definitely think, you know, I think Seattle's going to draft a quarterback at some point. It's just a matter of what that looks like.
Yeah. There's so many. The quarterbacks to me are going to be what make this thing. And it is every year, really, outside of maybe the Kenny Pickett year. But like, you know,
that was bad.
It was really bad.
Looking at 2021 now, because you have to look at Zach Wilson and, like, you know, that draft, that was terrible.
Mac Jones, I mean, Trey Lance. I mean,
Trevor Lawrence is the only one that's still left on the same team that drafted him.
Right. And honestly, like, I feel like Trevor Lawrence, for being like an established starting quarterback, takes a lot more heat than most guys in that spot because of his inability to kind of reach that next level, especially in the playoffs. So I feel like his seat's even a little bit like, it's not hot. Like, they're not going, the Jags are never moving off of that. But like, in terms of like, you look around the league, to me, like, he's in danger of another season like last year of becoming like Dak Prescott or Kirk Cousins. Like, that solidified, like, secondary or even that third tier that, like, I don't know if you can, like, build a franchise around. I think it's why, you know, there's a limit to how far these guys go in the playoffs every year. And it's like, I know there's only three or four of them that get their teams to the division in the AFC title game or the championship game every year. But Lawrence is in an interesting situation going in this year.
It's a, you know, would put him more in the, under a microscope and on the hot seat, like CJ Stroud. His emergence too, especially in that division. You know, you have a guy that's a rookie. Not only do they, you know, win a playoff game and they blow out the Browns, like, end up playing the Ravens in the second round, and then all of a sudden, like, he's the new flavor in town. Like, everybody, he's what people were talking about Trevor Lawrence the year before when they had to come back against the Chargers and everything like that. So he's been put on notice too as well. So that's gonna be an interesting division, you know, with those two guys going at it. And then, you know, you have to factor in Anthony Richardson too for the Colts too. I mean, the Colts almost made the playoffs with Gardner Minshew last year. So, and then you got Tennessee starting over with, you know, you have Will Levis. Like, you got a lot of young quarterbacks in that whole entire division. And then, you know, not, of course, a lot of them are not going to survive. There's going to be some turnover there. But yeah, Trevor Lawrence, yeah, he definitely has to, you know, get it done this year. I think people are going to start to have some significant questions. But to your point, it's only like a few alphas out there as far as quarterbacks. For me, it's like Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, DeMar Jackson. Like, those are your alphas. And then you have your really good quarterbacks. And then that's a list of those guys too. And then you have, you know, above average guys. And then you just have average guys that you're either, you know, trying to replace or they haven't necessarily come of age as of yet.
This is a huge season two for Justin Herbert, now that I think about it. Because for a couple of years there, we were putting him in that conversation with those top guys. I mean, he was putting up unbelievable numbers, and people were writing a lot of excuses for why that they weren't, you know, making things happen, you know, to get into the playoffs or to play well in the playoffs. But I feel like Herbert and Lawrence, they're very similar in terms of, like, can either of them take the next step to be like a dude?
And they have quarterback coaches now. They have guys that are head coaches that were former quarterbacks in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So the excuses is over at this point for both of those guys. Like, it's either produce or, you know, move on. Like, but yeah, the excuses is over because they got guys. It's not like they don't have coaching there. Like,
right.
You know, you could say that about Herbert, at least, you know, maybe with Anthony Lynn or Brandon Staley. But now you got Jim Harbaugh in there who's had success in the league, not only as a player, but also as a coach too. And Doug Peterson too, you know, whether he was with the Eagles and, you know, that one year with the Jaguars when they made the playoffs.
Who's your, I'm going to let you go in a second here, but I keep coming up with other questions.
Yeah, hold up, man. Like, we're having a good time.
Who is your, like, you look at the last couple of years, guys that have really ascended for teams, set day two picks at wide receiver. You know, I think of like the Tank Dells of the world, Nico Collins, Amon-Ra St. Brown. You could think about like Christian Watson or Romeo Doubs. I mean, we could go through this list and it's long. Who do you feel like in this draft, we're going to be like, spin this forward to November, where we're going to look back at this draft and say, this is a guy that's going to go in the second or third round that people are going to be talking about in November?
Oh, I have a few.
Oh, okay. But, let me get comfortable.
I'll name out three. Like, I like Peyton Wilson from NC State. I think, you know, he has a lot of injury concerns too as well. But when he plays, I mean, he arguably, I think, might be the best linebacker in the entire draft. I mean, he has everything you want. Like, the size, the speed, athleticism, has the ability to rush the quarterback, can play, you know, protect as far as, like, pass coverage, like all that stuff, like everything you want. It's just the injuries, I think, really scare teams away. So for me, I think he's, you know, top for the list for me. Like, I have like a draft crush on this guy, and I can't stand NC State. I went to East Carolina. They have a big rivalry there. But, you know, the fact that I even like this guy tells you how much of a good player he is. So I would start there. Xavier Leggett, I definitely think from South Carolina, you know, reminds me a lot of A.J. Brown. You know, I definitely could see him turning into a, you know, big-time wide receiver. He can go anywhere in the late first round to early second. So I definitely think he's the guy that I would definitely look at there. We talked about Troy Franklin before. You know, I know a lot of people have questions about his drops and things of that nature too, but, you know, it's a lot of, you know, tangibles and intangibles with him, the speed, the athleticism, you know, the height. You know, I definitely think he'll add on some good weight there too as well. I definitely think he has a chance to be, you know, a exciting prospect too as well. And then you look at, you know, the quarterback position too. You know, I know some people don't like Bo Nix. Some people do. I think you get him in the right system with maybe the right quarterback coach, you know, he might be successful too. I'm not saying he's going to be a, you know, all pro type of player, but, you know, I had a scout kind of compare him to, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo a little bit, which, you know, Jimmy's had a nice career there, but, you know, I definitely think it's somebody that can, you know, be a spot starter, but also have some success as a starter in the league too. But I definitely think those are be a few of the guys that I have about 10, but I'm not going to go all 10, but those are a few of the guys that I kind of look at.
I love it. Great stuff as always. Antoine Staley bringing it. New York Daily News covers the Jets full time, the NFL. Tell everybody what they can expect the rest of the week, what you want them to go check out right now.
Just, you know, like you said, I had the 7-round mock draft out today. We released me and Pat Leonard, who covers the Giants, released a full 32 pick first round mock draft on Monday. And then just kind of, you know, analyzing what the Jets to do and also other teams too, because we're going to be talking about, you know, what some of the other teams and specifically the AFC East are going to do or what they do during the draft. So you can find me at Antoine Staley on all social media platforms. Also find my work at the New York Daily News too as well.
Boom. Thanks for coming through, my friend. It was great to catch up with you. I'll see you in a couple months. Bills, Jets, we'll do it twice.
Yeah, it might be the debut once again.
It should be fun, man. Thank you so much. Enjoy draft week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.